ABC Radio Australia.
While recently released statistics have prompted some national soul searching in Fiji about how to address the issue of teenage pregnancies. Last month, the Assistant Minister for Health, Benioni Ravunawa, revealed 8 girls under the age of 15 had given birth in the first half of the year. Another 481 slightly older girls, aged between 15 and 19, also gave birth over the same period. Mr. Ravunawa put the figures down to a range of factors, including access to social media and online pornography and the erosion of traditional and family values. Last week, he proposed a national teenage pregnancy task force to address the issue. Now, a range of community leaders have since commented, with some calling for the issue to be reframed as one of sexual abuse, focusing on the males having sex with underage girls. Among them is Shamina Ali, prominent feminist activist and coordinator of the Fiji Women's Crisis Centre. She joins us now. That's, I say, good morning, Shamima.
Good morning, Yandra Vinaka.
Thank you so much for joining. I have to ask, were you surprised when these figures were released?
No, not at all, because our organization, we've been around for about 41 years now. And this issue has been ongoing, and particularly in the last 20 years. And, you know, it raises its head and everyone talks about it and it goes away again and then nobody talks about it again. So this time around, there are many more people who are raising their voices.
And Shamima, how do they compare to past figures? Like, is there a notable increase?
I don't think so. I think better numbers are being kept now. Data is much better now. But from what we see, and we go out in the communities a lot, and the women, the young women, the girls and families who access our services for counseling and so on, it doesn't seem that there is a marked increase.
But this is the thing, though. The statistics, apologies, seem to have caused a lot of public debate. But has that surprised you then, given it's not really a new problem, right?
It is not a new problem at all, but there is a lot more publicity around it. Many more people are talking about it.
Okay, then,
which is a good thing.
So what do you think then is responsible for this high rate of teenage pregnancies?
Well, there are many, many factors here. We also have the issue of drugs and so on, and young people partaking in this, and, you know, chem sex and things like that. But a lot of, from what we have seen over the years and from people who access our services for counseling and the pathway to alleviate the suffering of the young people who get pregnant, child rape seems to be one of the major causes, because there is such a conspiracy of silence because of who are the perpetrators, mostly, that, the people have not talked about it. And this is the first time that, that we are now, we are talking. We have talked about it, but other people haven't. But other people have joined it and realized that a lot of it is, within the homes and so on, where girls are impregnated. Mm-hmm. And then there are also issues of, as I said, the drugs, the lack of, realistic kind of sexual rights-based sexual education on sexuality in schools. That's still a debate going on whether it should be made compulsory or not. And there is very little information from young people on reproductive rights, on, you know, sexual and reproductive rights, sexuality, and so on.
Mm. Well, Assistant Minister to Health, Mr. Ravunawa, blamed social media, even online pornography, and of course the erosion of traditional and family values. Do you actually agree with this or his assessment?
Well, I would agree to a certain extent, particularly pornography, where young people, because we do know we have been called out to schools, primary schools and so on, whereby the teachers are, and the school authorities are, quite shocked at the amount of sexual behavior at writings, drawings in their toilets, in their classroom desks, and so on, and pictures being passed around, and so on, that is now present in schools, and the fact that people are realizing that young people are very sexually active. So I guess Some of it can fall on pornography, the watching of pornography, wanting to experiment, and so on. But I wouldn't say that most of it comes from there, because this has been with us long before smartphones came in.
Well, here's the question, Shamima. When a girl becomes pregnant and you know, goes and presents at a medical facility, do you know if police or any other authority investigates how it actually happened, you know, to determine if she is a victim of sexual abuse?
Well, that's the problem. We have the law says through the Child Welfare Act that once a child reports a pregnancy, or parents report a pregnancy of an underage child, which is under 18, the responsibility is of the the duty bearer, the health people, to involve social welfare and then the police and so on. There is a referral pathway actually that was developed within the health services for this. And police, of course, if it's a criminal offense, they have to involve social welfare and they have to recognize it as a sexual offense and so on. But it doesn't happen. It's all good on paper, but it doesn't happen. And also we must remember there's a huge conspiracy of silence when most of these people who are, older men who are having sex with underage girls are family members or people very close to the family or known within the community, people that are in trusted positions. So there is this sense of protecting the perpetrator and blaming the child, blaming the person who gets pregnant, you know, their promiscuity and things like that. So we have that issue, and our police force is very famous for that. It's quite infamous, I should say, for that. So while there is a referral pathway that is not followed through, we have children who have had a girl child, who has gotten pregnant, who have gotten pregnant over the years. And I can tell you, we are still dealing with cases where the child that was born is 3 years old, 2 years old, 4 years old, and ready to go to school even, because the process takes so long once it goes to the police. But basically, to answer your question, health people do not follow the referral pathway. A small percentage would, but most of them do not. And that's why, and because of the hidden nature of this, the nature of this whole thing where girls are getting pregnant, people don't worry about, don't sort of pay much attention to it.
And the other thing is, among those who've, called for tougher action against the males responsible is the chair of the Great Council of Chiefs, Viratu Viriame Sirivangula, who's said the use of traditional reconciliation ceremonies to resolve cases of sexual abuse must stop. I mean, yeah, how big of an issue is that?
It's a huge issue, and thank God, and congratulations to the, we commend the Great Council of Chiefs, because that's where these voices should be coming from. The strong voice should be coming from, and it is coming through. And I think people will. We have been saying that for ages. This is very common, and it continues till this day. We had lobbied hard enough, advocated hard enough over the years to have it no longer being used in court, the mbulumbulu we call it, the traditional saying sorry and things like that, asking for forgiveness and so on. But it does go through. We have even had reports of, police officers trying to reconcile through this, encouraging the perpetrator or perpetrators to encourage in rape cases and so on. So it is, and, this is a very strong voice that has come through. And hopefully people will, heed that. And particularly in the communities, in the rural communities where, there is not much access to education of this nature and so on.
Shamima, I want to go back a little bit because, you spoke about a lack of sexual literacy among young people earlier. Like, do you think this is feeding into the HIV crisis currently unfolding?
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely, definitely. Children, young people who have these STIs and HIV AIDS and so on over the years, and people don't know. One is we talk about these things. One is we say we must prevent HIV AIDS and so on, must prevent unwanted pregnancies, particularly of young people and so on. But there is nothing available. people are not encouraged to access. If you say, use a condom, then we are encouraging sexual activity. You know, that is how people who say use a condom, so on. So those things aren't available. And if a young person goes and tries to access these things, they're looked at in a funny way. You know, they're sort of bad people, bad boys, bad girls. But also, you know, we have had places where young women would go to access, you know, birth control pills, you know, some kind of contraception and so on. And where, you know, people know their parents and they will tell your parents, what are you doing, you know, trying to get this stuff and so on. You're promiscuous and so on. So young people are hesitant to access this. They're not readily available. We are not talking openly about these things, and we need to do that. The education system has failed young people over and over again, you know, in providing the kind of education around sexuality, rights-based, respectful behavior, relationships, and so on. So and that continues, because also there are parents, it's an optional thing where parents decide whether their children will get this education or not. In a lot of cases, they decide not to.
Well, so when it all comes down to it, Shamima, with the work that you do, the sector that you're part of, you know, being able to help women who have gone through these experiences, what then do you think can be done to reduce the number of teenage pregnancies?
Look, we need to do thorough research around this, because we are talking from, you know, this is the first time that we've seen the kind of data that has come through. And we need to do a lot more of this. We need to see, because I think the systems are in place, but we are not putting that into use. We are not using and implementing them the way they should be. So we should look at where the gaps are, where we fall short, what do we do, what does the law say. We have to look at all these things. If there is a task force, we welcome it, but the right people should be on it, and we should do that. And also, we really have to look at men's behavior towards young women, towards all women. We have high rates of violence against women in our country, and some of the other Pacific and other Pacific countries. So we have to look at that. We have to take that into account, and we have to look at it through the rights-based lens and so on. Family values are taught everywhere, you know, everywhere. But people are not listening, because I don't think we have effective means to do this. I think we should do that. Our police should be coming, you know, into the picture also. Well-trained police officers, well-trained welfare officers, child welfare officers, and so on. So it's a whole lot of, it's all of society, including government, you know, taking the lead on this, that we'll get. And our faith-based organizations, they have a big role to play in this. And I'm not saying religious teachings, but effective religious teaching that talks about rights, respectful behavior, equality, and so on. I mean, they play a very important role. And also, you know, we have to go back. I know people are talking about culture. We are forgetting. No, there were good things in our culture, pre-colonial colonization. Pre-colonial times. So we have to go back into that, you know, dig into that and look at what was good, what protected our girls, what prevented this, you know, this kind of thing, what happened when these things happened. So there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done, but we need to sit at the table together and have various sectors talking about these things, and, you know, and have the right people in the right place to be able to do this.
Well, thank you for that. It is definitely an important talanoa, an important conversation we are having this morning. So,
can I just talk about something else? The taboos around sexual talk.
Yeah.
You know, the taboos around it. We have to address that, because that
We'll definitely have to get to that, Shamima. Apologies, but our show is about to close up there. But we do appreciate you coming on the show this morning.
Thank you very much.
That is Shamima Ali, prominent feminist activist and coordinator of the Fiji Women's Crisis Centre here on Pacific Beat.